Dear ladies and gentlemen, in the Republic, Plato wrote that even the outermost freedom will deteriorate into nothing more than the outermost subjugation. Nothing proves incorrect. Better when the conflict between different ideas what liberty in our contemporary 21st century is. Nothing makes his words seem more prophetic than daily liberty with a silently free speech being blocked by more and more sides, except racist speech, except homophobic speech, except religious speech, except anti-religious speech, the image getting steadily more crowded as time progresses. However, this is not only about our precious freedom of speech, but about the quintessential struggle to preserve our human rights, even when they are threatened by the very people who claim to defend them. Look no further than so-called liberals who spit on liberty the same way llamas do when they are somehow convinced that they need to protect their domain against everyone who dares to get too close. Look no further than Canada's hate speech bill, which has successfully robbed an entire nation of its freedom of expressing different opinions. It's time for us to resist, by else forsaking basic fear our ancestors had when the red menace swept nation after nation under the dark rock of tyranny and despotism, will be completely ignored when it's most necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to face the facts and must once more recognize the promise made to modern mankind and to our forefathers incredible feelings of awe and happiness when they envisioned the bright future we would have, instead of instantly being ready to flush it all down the toilet and give it to the generously. Before we delve right into the deeper abyss of modern society's sea of troubles, which I promise we will explore and emerge from victoriously, let us get into something lighter first, something we've all heard from and which perfectly encapsulates the dilemma we have, the female quota. What we have here is an example of an at first completely sound and logical struggle gone tragically wrong. The quota miraculously demonstrates how the dystopian utopia of today evolved from an age where society had real problems, in this case legal inequality between men and women. After first generation feminists had achieved their dream of being equal to a male establishment, in the legal sense of having reached a point where they were finally able to pursue the same independence and opportunity men are granted, their successors overstayed their welcome by confusing the already progressive system erected in part by themselves with the one that had been abolished. The feminist conception was radicalized and given form in the idea that the system still needed to deliver what they were now convinced required no input on their own. Instead of embracing the newfound liberty they shared with their male counterparts, the freedom fighters forgot what the concept of freedom was and thought that it was a flimsy expression of so-called social justice. Here, the freedom of employers to choose employees and award promotions, regardless of government or institutional limitations, was as much as ignored or subsumed under patriarchal oppression. Ironic and tragic, yet not even the worst failure in the long line of incidences, where the self-described protectors of humanism have built high and are about to suffer a sucker punch from the Lord's wrath. Now that we've covered an example of simple economic protectionism, we should move on to greater battles, namely the important debate between freedom of religion and secularism, open borders versus war and terror, freedom of speech versus hate speech bans. Consider this. Imagine a Christian student putting up a small cross above the classroom door. His or her teacher asked why this was necessary, and the answer is, because I'm making use of my freedom to openly practice my faith in public view. Imagine Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, or Jews doing the same. In the end, everybody got what they wanted. The theists could put up their symbols and the atheists could just ignore it altogether. What does the situation look like in reality? Cross going up, someone's getting offended. Instead of raising the right side of diversity, some students or teachers choose to follow the demon of false tolerance. The cross is offensive to our students, not everyone here is Christian. School's a non-religious place. It's funny how the secularism argument isn't brought up when there's another case in the headscarf of Berkeley University. Freedom in our time is, as a political idea, dead as a method of true progress. It has been regressed into a joke when mentioned by leftists, even who once shout freedom to freedom of the opposition in every possible minute, while beating up Donald Trump supporters and calling them fascists. In modern discourse, the term hate speech is used to distinguish between language deemed as sensitive and non-offensive, and speech which may just as well be banned in their eyes. Hate speech can vary from vicious anti-Semitism, no wait, the left hates Israel and some openly support Hamas, which is racism, to admitting that there are only two genders. In Canada, the new Bill C-16 officially bans any form of discrimination against people with homo, bi, trans, or whatever sexuality, and comedians are being put before human rights tribunals. Professor Jordan B. Peterson has been called Hitler for criticizing the bill. When he gave a speech at Queen's University in Canada, the building was surrounded by social justice warriors who proceeded to bang on the windows and get on stage demonstrating against so-called bigotry, while being completely unaware that the only thing that could have been more obvious was wearing brown shirts. When it's bigotry to bring up facts and common sense, when it's fascism to report criminals back to their home country, when freedom of speech loses its meaning, when people are keen on giving up their liberty for a false idea of totalitarian, intolerant tolerance, when it's time to resist. Resist the lies, resist the fascism of anti-fascism, resist that which lies at the core of the negative pole of the freedom-slavery spectrum. When people who won't abandon hope, who won't stop dreaming of a present and future where no one is silenced and no one falls victim to the utter insanity of a world without morality, or logical thinking for that matter, give up and retreat into the safety of triggerless safe spaces as the lone caves full of dirt and darkness. Western civilization will be at its end. Don't confuse freedom with the freedom of small groups. Show them your fists if you must. Don't let them take your tongue, your money, your gun. Be a hero.